Grade 7 Conference, Lecture 3. I want to talk now about the physical body, which I said is at once the lowest and the highest of the members. The physical body, Steiner tells us, is what is most unique about us as human beings. That is to say, unique in relationship to other spiritual beings, such as the hierarchical beings, the angels, archangels, archai, and so forth. Although they, in earlier stages of evolution, have gone through what Steiner speaks of as a human stage, their human stages took place when earthly conditions were very different from our own time. We, human beings, at this stage, are the only ones who have ever lived in the mineral world, in a world that is filled with, we could say, rough edges and hardening and great density. This is what makes us unique. The question the spiritual world poses again and again to human beings is it possible to maintain your spiritual identity living in a mineral body? Which would be like thinking, would it be possible for me to do very much with my life if I were the size of that little stone over there? If that was my body, if I kind of lived in that stone, what would I be able to really accomplish in life? For spiritual beings, that's what we are. We are tremendously lofting cosmic beings imprisoned in what for them look like a bunch of rocks that somehow roll around on the earth. So they just cannot fathom how we can function within such great limits. And they can't understand the appeal of this mineral world for us, how hard it is for us to break ourselves away from it when we die and accept ourselves as spiritual beings. So the physical body is a real riddle. It's unique, it's important, and as Steiner says, it has a tremendous degree of perfection about it as well. However, in modern times, and I would say increasingly since the time that we are going to study in seventh grade, since the Renaissance, the physical world has gotten more hardened, more rigid, and therefore it's harder and harder for our spirit and soul to penetrate that world and to be able to exist comfortably in a physical body. So, in fact, the physical world is so dense now that we cannot even create our own physical body when we are born. Our etheric body does not have the capacity to transform that hardened physical matter into a suitable body for us. So what happens is that our parents lend us a body that for the first 7 to 9, sometimes it's even a little bit longer, but for those first years of life, the physical body that we see in our classroom of that child is not yet his or her body. It's something lent by the parents. Now, perhaps your car needs to be repaired, and you get to the service place, and they say, you know, it's actually going to take a day. We won't have this ready for you until tomorrow. But don't worry, we'll give you a loaner. So there you get their loaner. Brand new model, really nice, really shiny. You know, they know what they're doing. They're trying to give you a little bit of an envious feeling. I want this car. And it's really nice. You drive around in it. Wow, so, hey, this is great to have a GPS system built in. Oh my gosh, I can tell it where I want it to go and it just drives. It can back up for me and park for me. Oh my, you know, how nice. And then the next day you get your car back and oh well. Well, that's what it's like for the child. The child is given a good model, a brand new model, you know, high technology model of what a physical body will be like, so that they're able to say yes to earthly life and be not totally traumatized and, you know, completely go mad over what it means to squeeze into something hard and solid like this. And you see it in the children's teeth. You know, you look at the teeth of a 4-year-old, 5-year-old, 6-year-old, the first dentition is generally pretty nice looking, even very nice looking. Second dentition, that's another matter. Second dentition marks the beginning of the casting off of the parent's model body, as Steiner called it, the model body, and taking on our own. And that's a more difficult task. In the past, by the time we were 8, 9, 10, nature, Mother Nature, helped us with this by casting off aspects of the body through illnesses. So the childhood illnesses with their high fevers, with their skin eruptions, with their coughing, burning, things swelling up, things shrinking, all of these, you know, gross changes in the child's physical body, it was really a way for the child to get rid of their physical body and to, or their parents' physical body, and to be able to take on their own. We don't have those childhood illnesses today. Even in Waldorf schools, maybe there'll be chicken pox, maybe there'll be whooping cough, and everybody, you know, tries to get their child infected as well. But sometimes all the efforts in the world won't give your child any of those childhood illnesses. So this is now what used to be done automatically, we might say, through the help of the spiritual world working through the physical world. It doesn't happen now, especially in the developed Western world, in the United States, Canada, and much of Europe. So this means it's going to have to take place not in the sick bed, not in the child's room. It's going to have to happen in school. In school now, we must be helpers, helping that child cast off the model body. And this is what the 9-year change is about. It is a more critical year than it used to be. It's more of a crisis time than it used to be, because now what ordinarily happened over 2 or 3 years, quite naturally, it sort of has to start happening all at once. And it comes back again in adolescence. Whatever aspect of the physical body of the parents, the model body, was not cast off when we were 7 to 9, now every effort is going to be made by that child's soul and spirit to cast off that body. And it won't all be pretty, in that children will act at times very destructively on their physical body. And we see, I mean, these things come and go, but there certainly is this ongoing tendency of kids to be, you know, starving themselves or eating and throwing up or cutting themselves or piercing themselves, like, you know, anything to do to kind of drive that old physical body away and imprint myself, even if it's my name and my drawing on my body, to make my body my own. So on the one hand, there's this, you know, interest in the physical body, this living in the physical body in a much deeper way than before. On the other hand, there is this self-destructive quality. At least it's destructive on one level of ourself, not on all of them, which is trying to undo the physical body, trying to unravel it and see if a new physical body can be born. So here already, this gives you a deep insight into the kind of sometimes shocking, surprising, unexpected self-destructive behavior you may see among perfectly fine Waldorf students. What got her started on that? Why is he doing that? My gosh, what led him to that? It's in part that the model body has not been sufficiently cast off. You perhaps could have done more helping this in the early grades. You didn't, or your predecessor didn't. Okay, now you have a second chance. And 7th and 8th grade are going to give you this opportunity. And this is a reason that artistic activity is so incredibly important. And not just draw that, yeah, that's good. Okay, now draw this. No. Really good, really high quality, really beautiful, beautiful artistic work. And Meg Chittenden is going to show you how, but of course she's not going to do it for you. And we'll talk about how to help the children improve the quality of the main lesson books. The main lesson books can be something, should be something, of a mirror into which the child looks and sees the possibility of themselves, of their true being there, casting off the physical. And one other thing about the physical body, connected to the concept of the model body, but also something in and of itself, that Steiner tells us that when we are born, the physical umbilical cord is severed. Of course, we know that. But when we come to age 7 and begin then to transform our given physical body, we could say the old Adam into the new Adam, into our own physical body, there's another birth that goes on. Because with the coming of the second set of teeth, the etheric umbilical cord is severed. So now the child who is living very strongly in the mother's etheric body, who is deeply connected with her health and well-being, with her illnesses, with her fatigue, with her activity, with the life of form and organization that she did or did not have, this is especially the world in which the kindergarten teacher must live. Now we find, as the child approaches adolescence, the astral umbilical cord is going to be severed. So this means that the physical body is coming into an entirely different complex of relationships. But at this age, right before this second umbilical, this third umbilical cord rather, is severed, this is a high peak time for the child to be living very strongly, not in the mother's health and well-being or lack of it, but living in the mother's emotional life. And this is another reason that we find at this time these powerful rejection forces that arise in the children. You know, you'll hear them as a teacher talking about their parents, and it's all negative. You know, all you will hear all the time is how stupid their parents are and how easily manipulated they are and how they don't care and, you know, they're weird and so on and so forth. And this is partly the casting off of the model body, but partly this stretching to a breaking point of the child's connection with the mother's astral body. So the child, on the one hand, is finally able to live into her own physical body. On the other hand, is now finding the way to live in her own astral body independently. So there is rejection on so many levels. By the way, you can assume when the children are at home, they talk about you in the same way. And it's good to let the parents know this. You know that this is a two-way street. I know your kids are coming home and telling you what a creep I am. But when I overhear them talking at lunchtime or first thing in the morning, I hear what a creep you are. So, you know, if you think I'm the one with all the problems, look in the mirror. So there. But anyway, this is important for parents to understand this, that this is natural. It's healthy. It's not a whole lot of fun. But life isn't just, you know, high moments. And It shows that something important is going on. The kind of naysaying, the power of no that must be said so that we can cross from one state of being to another. We'll go on next to the etheric body.